and welcome to the High Ground podcast. My name is Clee Stacey and I am a life coach.
My name is Anthony Turi. I am a therapist, and for six episodes we're going to be chewing over what coaching is, what therapy is, and our different takes on spirituality and personal development.
So we are on episode two now. Welcome back. Welcome, welcome. And I'm really excited about this one.
It's interesting because we've gone a bit left field, haven't we? We set it up with the therapy and coaching last week.
Yeah.
And then we've gone, rather than where we'd expect to go, we've gone a bit left field with talking about law of attraction. I'm excited and a bit nervous about this one. Yeah.
Why are you nervous, Anthony?
I guess it's because I have a personal spiritual belief in the law of attraction, but it's not something as a therapist I would bring into my work. It's not something that I would ever seek to impose on a client or anybody.
Yeah.
So I guess there's an element of me bringing my own self into play here, which is outside my therapy work, but it's something which is important in my own life.
Yeah.
And I want to distinguish that. It's not something I necessarily think clients need to subscribe to or follow.
Yeah.
But it's relevant, I think. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting for me because it's something I love so much. And over the last few months, from where I got into it, which was essentially a breakup, and then when I like obsessed over it for a while, and it really helped ground me. And it's so much more than manifesting, right? And I think so many people, I got into it like as like a reason to manifest something I wanted, but then as soon as you delve into it, it's like, oh, that's not what it is. Like, that's just a pretty kind of a small part of it, if we're really honest. And it is scary because for me, even saying this on a microphone, knowing that people are going to listen to this, it's like, okay, some of my clients, this is what I do talk about with my clients. Not all of them, but where it works. And it does. I mean, you have to believe it. It's one of these things, well, you don't have to believe it, to be fair. It works all the time, and we'll talk about that. But to be able to talk about it, you need to be able to understand it and talk about it, and it's not my space to teach it.
What's your understanding of the law of attraction? What does it mean?
Yeah, so I used to hate the term law of attraction, because it kind of like, it's not like gravity. I'm like, kind of is, actually. So law of attraction, I was going to say for me, it's not for me, it just is. The idea that your thoughts create, the idea that not just thoughts, but feelings, and that we are not simply physical beings living on planet Earth as animals. We are that, and we are also energetic beings and we are consciousness. We aren't just connected to consciousness, we are consciousness, whether we like it or not. And liking it or not is ego, not consciousness. But that's just who we are as it's not just who, like who, it's what we are.
Yeah.
And even describing it like this is a bit strange because that's a separation. Like, it's in my head, I'm like, we are this thing that is separate, but that's the whole point. We're not separate. Everything is connected. Energy is connected. I'm connected to you. I'm connected to everything on this planet, the table. There's nothing in between us. It's all energy, and it's all based on feeling as well. Feeling and thought, and being connected to that source. However, I think, you know, I have a tendency to call it source and universe and energy. Those are the words I use. But it's, if when you dig down into it, it's the same as all religions. It's the same as everything. If you talk about God, Allah, Muhammad, like the lot of it, if you read all the texts, they all, if you take all the translations over all the years, if you get down deep, it all says the same thing. We are, that God isn't outside us. It's in, and it's not even really inside us. It is us, and it is you, and it is everything. And we are consciousness. And I was listening to Alan Watts today, who is kind of a, not law of attraction necessarily, but he's a British philosopher, awesome. And he was saying, like, it's the reason why so many of us in spirituality and law of attraction and consciousness find it difficult to talk about what it actually is, it's because you can't point at your fingertip. You can't touch your fingertip with your fingertip. That you are your fingertip. You can't touch it, you know? And it's the same thing. It is just what we are. It is just what we are.
For me, I go to my sense that we live in a vibrational universe. Everything is vibration. And when I was thinking about this episode, I naturally go think of the skeptics who are going to be listening to this.
Oh, yeah.
People who are like, oh, what's all this about? And
me about a year ago.
Okay. Whereas, I mean, I've always had a strong spiritual sense. Of the universe and my connection to it and my place in it. But I think what's interesting for me is this is not stuff that is in any way incompatible with science. I mean, quantum physics, you know, the last 50, 60, 100 years, they've shown us that the universe is essentially vibration. And there's a lot of quantum physicists now who come out in support of these ideas, and they would say, you know, you're a magnet to everything you bring into your experience. I may have frozen you there. Such was the impact of what I just said.
I was going to say, connection is strong here or not. Yeah, we are a magnet.
Okay. I've been looking through what some of the quantum physicists have to say about this, and there's a lot of evidence that at the most basic level, you can't have a universe without mind entering into it. We shape what we perceive. So the idea that thoughts create reality is not the strange one.
Yeah.
At the level of the most advanced scientific thinking.
Yeah. And the premise that so many people live upon with a scientific brain or belief in science, or the belief in what is seen rather than what is felt, basically. And most people say, I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it. But the truth is, it works the other way around. I will see it when I believe it. Like, when I believe something to be true, that's when it shows up in reality. And it's the things that we absolutely believe 100 million percent that we, it's not, it doesn't feel like a belief. There's something about when I talk about belief that I kind of think, oh, I can change those beliefs. And it's kind of, that's great. But it's like the beliefs that don't even feel like a belief, it feels like absolute truth and fact. That's what shows up. It's what we expect. And I've said this before, it's what we expect, not what we believe. It is belief, but when we can turn belief into absolute truth and expectation, and a felt sense of it that shows up. And that is a lot of what the physicists talk about as well. Is that it's I'm finding myself be feeling very ex like lo loving this, having a conversation about law of attraction, but every time I talk about it feels like it's almost difficult to talk about because it is a felt sense and it is seen, but the manifestations of it are in the outside world, but it's really about, for me, it's all about the felt sense.
Yeah, there's a lot in what you said there. I mean, one is I'll see it when I believe it. I'll believe it when I see it. That's something that Wayne Dyer has actually said. And there is a lot of this isn't just two people on a Zoom call talking about this. There's a lot of scientists supporting this idea. And there's a lot of spiritual writers supporting this idea. I mean, you've got Louise Hay, Gabby Bernstein, Abraham Hicks, Neil Donald Walsh, all of these people, and others, many, many others, Deepak Chopra, they're all talking
Tony
about the
Robbins,
idea that.
you've got the likes of Oprah, Jim
Oh,
Carrey,
yeah.
Denzel Washington, so many people, like so many celebs. I kind of hate the word celebs, but celebs, like the mental diets that they had, that they went on, and the belief and the absolute total belief, and the tips and tricks that they use are in all the, you know, if you go on YouTube and you search law of attraction, manifestation tools and techniques, all the ones that are there are the ones that Jim Carrey used to get dumber and dumber and dumber, are the ones that everyone that I know who uses this stuff, it works. And you're right, it's people right at the top of the game. It's people right at the top who don't talk about it and they don't necessarily even know that they do it. And that's a thing I think I certainly realized last year when I manifested my boyfriend. I had written about him for months. Like, I had written him down. And so when he shows up in my reality, I was like, oh, it's you. Oh, hello. And that was the first time I didn't know it was manifesting. I didn't know it was law of attraction. But that's the first time I consciously created something without it being like the expectation of something happening, you know, like, oh, this thing's just probably going to happen. And even if that's weird, but it's going to happen. When I left my ex-boyfriend, what, 5 years ago, 3, 4 years ago, and I found the place I'm currently in, it was. So now we're going into success stories, I guess, which you can find all over YouTube. I decided that I was going to move to Richmond, which is a very affluent, very good part of London, expensive, and I was going to find the two perfect housemates, and I was going to find a job that perfectly gave me enough income and gave me time to coach as well. I didn't really tell anyone this because I thought I sounded crazy, but I knew it was going to happen. I just didn't give my I just I didn't even try and not think about it. I just knew that I was going to find this place, I was going to have great housemates, and I was going to find the perfect job. And I did. And I found the absolute perfect place on the top of the hill. I found the two perfect housemates, one that was silly and funny and more party, and one that was more meditation, personal development, thoughtful. Perfect. Two perfect people. Found a job that was 7:30 in the morning to 1:30 in the afternoon, giving me all the time in the afternoon to coach. Literally perfect. Perfect. And I had this when I was looking for this flat. I saw it once, hadn't met the girls before I put my name on the lease because I knew it was going to be work. Like, it was just such total trust and surrender. And I had been to see another flat before, just didn't feel right. I couldn't tell you physically what was wrong. There was nothing wrong. The girl was lovely. The flat was lovely. It was just not right. And I couldn't put my finger on it. And that's so much what it's about. It's like the felt sense. I can't tell you why some things work or some things don't. And that's what, as humans, as especially in the West, we all kind of, we want to know the why all the time. But actually, the thing about law of attraction and about spirituality and connection is that it's not about the knowing. It's about, it's not about the mental knowing, it's about the felt sense knowing.
Yeah, and I guess before we go into that a bit more, just to kind of round off my the response of the skeptics,
yeah.
Say, well, what's all this about? One final anecdote is one of my best mates who was at Cambridge with me, and he was like ultra Robin, ultimate top of his year, double first, physics and philosophy, razor sharp, nothing gets past him, can just demolish an argument from 50 feet. I mean, he would completely accept the idea that thought creates reality. He completely accepts and supports the idea that, you know, there is, we create, we impact reality, you know. So this isn't just two people talking about feelings. There is a lot of intellectual support for this idea as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's almost, it feels like proof that thoughts create reality, because whatever you want to believe becomes true. So if you don't believe that law of attraction is true, then you will find ways to prove yourself right. Right? You will always find things to prove yourself right. That's human nature, that's law of attraction, whatever you want to call it. Like, that just is the way. You will find yourself to be right. Me, part of what's important about law of attraction is I can prove myself right, but do I just want to be right, or do I want to enjoy? And what I find in law of attraction and connection and consciousness is that it's like I can have what I want, I can create my reality, and that's all good and great. But why do I do it? Because I want joy, and I want peace, and I want calm. And it's that. And that's why I love it. Kind of, that's why I love it and why I'll keep doing it.
You've frozen over there.
Am I still here?
Yeah, you keep cutting out.
I'm here.
I'm wondering if we might just pause for a sec.
So I can chop it up. Where are we? 34 minutes.
Yeah, I've been getting about 60% of what you've been saying.
That's annoying. I don't want to move. I don't want to go into her room. It's so annoying. Okay. I can.
Her room?
Yeah, it's not my room that I have to go. No. I have to go to my housemate's room. It's shit. I wonder if it's... I assume it's recording.
Is that where you coach?
Yeah, when I go into the other room, it's my housemate's room because the internet's better in there.
Right. I'm not really getting a lot of what you're saying.
All right.
Okay, so we've spoken a bit generally about it. I guess might be used about the law of attraction. Let's get a bit more specific, maybe. I mean, how we use it in our own lives, in our work, how we relate to the idea.
Yeah.
Difference in that you'd bring it in a bit more explicitly. with your client work, maybe without referencing it. Whereas as a therapist, I'm much more guided by client beliefs and where clients want to go. So I'm kind of following them and staying with their experience. But, and that's an interesting difference between our lines of work.
Totally. And I think both are really useful. Like, I have coaches, therapists who I don't want to talk to me about rules and other stuff. I want it to be just about me, and I want it to be all my sense of life. But then there are other places that I do want to be guided. I want to be reminded of things I don't know. And actually, my one of my coaches who is, you know, embodiment, we do embodiment work, it ties in perfectly, because ultimately it's like it is the felt sense.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because, you know, having said that, in Gestalt therapy, we have a belief in field theory. So everything that is happening in the co-created field between me and you, between, you know, the two of us in a therapy session or in an interaction. And so I very much notice that what I'm bringing does have an impact on the work. And for me, it's about, you know, I could say it's about getting into alignment or attracting the highest good for a client. So I seek to get into a place where I'm as centered and as focused on goodness as possible before a session. Not in terms of like manipulating anyone or any outcome, but just being available for the best to arise in that moment between me and a client. And I do find that when I'm in that place, I'm more available.
Yeah.
To give support, and then things happen in the between me and the client that takes us to new and interesting places.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I saw you nodding.
I have learned in my short therapy, psychotherapy training, when I've done my coaching training, just when I've had therapy and coaching, is that the most powerful space is when someone is completely clear and they don't have their own shit to bring in to the conversation. And that, I think, I know in therapy, and for me, is so much of what I do when I come into a session, is I want to be really clear. And I, with my clients, like, I do bring me and my life in, but I do that very deliberately. Like, it doesn't seep through. It's like, this is all about you, and now I'm recognizing that I'm realizing something, and either I will do that privately and I'll kind of park it, or I will give something. Because often the point of me and that person working together, again, that's arguably law of attraction. Like, there is, people are drawn to each other. And so it is sometimes, and there's intuition about it. Some clients I don't give as much to about me, because it's really, they need something different. But some clients, the reason we're supposed to work together isn't just because I'm a great coach, they need some support. It's like, okay, well, we're mirroring each other's experiences. There are experiences that I have had that I can reflect upon and support with that. When you have that space of really trusting, that it actually makes a big difference. And I've had that with coaches as well, when they've shared something with me and I'm like, oh, it really matters that you shared that in this space. In a point of like everything else, like, it's not about them, it's just, that's a part of it. And I think, bring it back to law of attraction, it's like, so much of the practice is a spiritual practice, and not, it is spiritual, but it's also emotional and felt sense and mental health
sense
and help mental healthy. I kind of hate the word mental health, because it makes out like it's this, just do a few mental press ups and you'll be good. It's like, actually, it's a little bit more than that. And it's a clearing. It's the clearing. So when we can show up as therapists and coaches as the clearing, there is space there, and it's the space that's powerful in those sessions. But also, you know, most people listening won't be a therapist or a coach. So in general life, when you come to a place from a clear space, breathe.
Like the out breath there. Yeah.
And there's more ease and flow, and it doesn't matter what shows up. Like, it's all good. You know, ultimately, this podcast, I don't know if one person's going to listen to it. You know, probably Gavin and Jolie. two people.
And me and you, probably again. You. But we've just doubled our listenership.
Yes. And this is the beauty, right? We don't live in the outcome. We live in the end, and the end is already fulfilled because we know what we're enjoying it. And that's the ease and flow of it. It's like, and that's so much what it's about and what it brings me back to is the power of now, the Eckhart Tolle stuff of just being in the present moment and enjoying what's here and knowing that anything in our mind is usually past experiences or assumptions of the future, which is only past experiences dragged into the future anyway. And so it's all big and wonderful and absolutely simple and nothingness as well. If that makes any sense to anyone.
Yeah. There's two things there that struck me. One is you mentioned people attracting each other into their lives. And I mean, this is something that the ancient Chinese were talking about in the I Ching. It's like people that have the same resonance, they're drawn to each other. And I find with my clients, it's uncanny.
Yeah.
The kind of... you know, the resonances I have with them, or the fact that they're working through something in a different way, perhaps, that but I've had an experience in my own life which really speaks to what they're going through, and beyond just like being able to understand it, I feel like I'm emotionally equipped to really access their experience. And it's just incredible. It's like time and time again, these people are drawn into my work, and I think, oh yeah, I see why, I totally get why we're working together. And for me, that's, you know, the law of attraction. And I liked your point as well about, you know, disclosure, you know, some select, and that's the good thing that we do in Gestalt as well. We talk about, you know, the therapist's experience in the room is also part of the work. So it's like, you know, if I'm having an emotional reaction, if I'm hearing something from my client that engenders a feeling in me of sadness or compassion or warmth, you know, I'll often choose to share that. And and often there's something, they're attracting that from me, I've attracted them into my work, and there's something really useful about my disclosure in that way. So, yeah, it's a couple of good points you made there.
And I really like that the conversation about law of attraction isn't just about Abraham Hicks manifesting your specific person, manifesting money in abundance, because that is a lot of what it is, right? And, you know, there's the manifestation babe who I, Catherine, someone, and I love her. And I love that stuff because it's important. It is important. We can use it in that way. And if anyone wants any resources, we both have lots of those to manifest lots of different things. And YouTube's a really incredible resource on this. But it's not just about the getting the car, the getting the money, the getting the partner. Like, those are really cool things. But like I said earlier, people get into law of attraction often because they think that they can get what they want. The stuff, the money, the person, the family, the health. or to stop having the things I don't want. But the doesn't take long to get into Law of Attraction to realize that it's kind of like just the rest of spirituality and religion, and it's the felt sense of everything is here happening right now, feeling into the vortex, feeling into source energy, feeling into love and truth. If it's so many different modalities, we'll call it different things, but at essence it's simple peace, and it's calm, and
and like attracts like. So if you're able to access that sense of peace and goodness and calmness and love within yourself, then in my experience, you're more likely to bring those things more into your experience. And I think the work of therapy and maybe coaching, but in my experience, it's about what my favorite image is Stephen Mitchell uses this, and he says, you know, spirituality is like, you know, the window. And our issues and our insecurities and character flaws and stuff we accumulate is dirt on the window pane. And the job of any spiritual work or development is just clearing the window. Mm. And that's what I think I'm interested in doing in therapy, is kind of just removing those, that stuff that we've accumulated over the years, to just attract in the sunlight that is out there and within us.
And interesting, actually, when we talk about attraction, is it attraction? It's almost not attraction. It's just allowing, you know, and Abraham Hicks talks about the art of allowing. Attraction is just really allowing.
It's letting that sunlight in.
Yeah. And you're letting it in. You're letting in what you want. So attraction is attraction, but it's also attraction. You don't have to do work. Like,
flow. There is a flow state.
There's no efforting in attraction, because you just be you. You know, a magnet, two ends of a magnet, the one magnet isn't like desperately trying to attract the other one. It just is what it is. And by being what it is, it will attract the opposite.
Mm. Yeah. And I guess what you're talking about, you know, when you see a dancer in a state of just flow, and then just doing it naturally, or when you're connecting with a good friend and there's no effort involved, or, you know, watching someone do yoga or a runner, you know, the dance dances itself.
Yeah. The river flows itself. It doesn't try and flow. It just flows.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. I mean, maybe there's a bit of overlap in our work, because so, you know, what I do is partly about removing the blocks to that flow. And in Gestalt, we say, you know, that we have innate organismic wisdom. It's like within, there's everything we need to grow and to heal. So it's about removing the stuff, and then whatever is within will naturally call healing experiences into their own lives. And I found this time and again with clients. Yeah. It's like once we work on removing blocks, they just naturally attract in different experiences, people, jobs, you know, yeah, relationships, that just naturally gets drawn into their experience.
Yeah. And I love that. Drawn in. I love how language is so important with Law of Attraction. It is in your thoughts, but it's in your thoughts, but then thoughts are feelings. So it's whatever is the most, whichever thought helps you feel closer to that ease and flow, or that thing that you want, or that thing that you want to feel. And I really just, every time I think about this, probably 5 times a day, how great it is that to get the things that we want to get, the simple way to do it is to feel the way you would feel having those things. And why do you want those things? You want those things so that you feel the way that you want to feel. So the way to get to what you want to feel is by feeling what you want to feel before you feel it. And so you bypass having the things. And yet the bypassing of having the things ends up meaning that the things turn up.
Time and time again, people will say this, and you know we've all experienced it. I think to some degree, it's like, oh, when I stopped worrying about it, I got it. I got the girl, I got the job. You know, I got...
And it's not the stopping of the desire. The desire stays. It's the dropping of the needing. It's the dropping of the worry. It's the dropping of the resistance of it. It's like, hey, I want it. Cool. Okay. What's over there? You know, like. And how desire is so often. I listened to someone say this the other day and it blew my mind. We often, when we talk about desire and we think about desire, it's often in a state of, I want that thing, but I don't have it. I wish I had it, but I don't, and it's not for me. That's what most people describe desire as, how they feel about desire. Yes, I have a desire for something. Yes, I have a desire to earn more money. Yes, I have a desire to get a house. Yes, I have a desire for a better body, whatever it is. But it's a, I don't have it. I want it because I don't have it. I want it and it's difficult to have. I want it and I desire it and I look up to it and I put it on a pedestal and I'm desperate for it. Because I don't have it, and it would make my life great if I had it, rather than being like, it makes me so excited to think about having this thing. Oh, it's such a lovely thing to have. Isn't it lovely when I have it? Life is going to be so good when I have it. Like inviting it in, enjoying the desire. Most people don't enjoy their desires. Whereas if you can enjoy the desire of something as well as having it, the having it will show up. But the having it stops being as important, aka you stop worrying about it, because the feeling and the thought of the desire in the first place is so beautiful.
You've set us up beautifully for next week's episode on the power of positive intention.
There you go.
Seamless. Such a professional.
I'll help it.
Just to wrap up, I mean, is it worth... I think it is, each of us kind of saying to, you know, prospective clients what they could expect from us in relation to this field. Yeah. I mean, I could go first.
You go.
And I'd say, you know, if you're interested in working with me, you don't have to be interested in the law of attraction. Because the whole point about law of attraction is it's a personally held belief. It's the opposite of assertion. So I'm not seeking to assert this into anyone else's experience or impose it. If it's something, I will work with people who are interested in this and are interested equally. If it's something that you hold dear to you, I'm absolutely able and up for working with it. I mean, I think the key point is, you know, once again, it's not about imposing a view on anyone, because we live in a universe, I think, that is based on attraction. There is no assertion.
Yeah.
What about you?
For me, it comes up in my work because I attract people who believe in it already. So if you don't believe in it, it's not an issue. I have clients who there's a few clients who I've been working with for a couple of years now, and without me giving them any of it, they've come to it on their own and they start talking to me about the universe and trust and attraction.
Abundance.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we know who we're talking about there. So it comes up, and I'm just to echo what you say, really, is that yes, if you want to work on it, I'm deep into it, and it's something that I'm very happy to support with. Equally, coaching doesn't have to be about law of attraction. It doesn't have to be that way. And I've coached for a long time without it, with lots of fantastic results for my clients. So it's absolutely not the only way to get the results that you want, to have the relationships, to enjoy your career. Although I do talk about having those things with ease and flow, because why wouldn't you? Frankly,
yeah. absolutely. I mean, you don't need to believe in gravity for it to impact your life, and equally, you don't need to believe that in the law of attraction for the fact of getting into a place where you feel better through therapy or coaching to end up drawing better things into your life. So it's all good in the spiritual therapeutic coaching hood.
It is all good in the hood. I love it. I love it. This has been so much fun and can't wait.
So much fun.
Talk with you guys next week, all the power of positive intention. And if you guys know Louise Hay at all, affirmations, but more vibration work and just the real bits about positive intention, not the hippie, not the just, I'm just going to pretend and believe. It's like, no, but making it real, you know, like power of positive intention is real, but it's not about bypassing the shit. It's, and that's a real key thing, which we'll get into next week. This has been so much fun. I can't wait.
I'm really appreciating these conversations, Clee. Namaste to the max.
Namaste, Max. Bye, guys.
Thank you. Bye.